We now have our first reading.
The first reading can be found on page 185 in the Church Bibles or page 325 in the large print version. The reading is taken from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 to 12. Love the Lord your God. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you, a land with large, flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. Then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Gospel can be found on page 970 in the Church Bibles or page 1718 in the large print version. Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew 6, verses 9 to 15. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
As we stand, let's pray. Lord, these words we've just heard read are so familiar. And so we pray that we might not miss out on the great reminders, the surprises we're given. So speak to us, Lord, change us, and may we see you more clearly. For Christ's sake, amen. Please be seated. Well, we've seen these last few weeks that we're thinking about not what is external in our lives, so that can be important, but rather what's happening on the inside. And when it comes to things like anger and lust, it's not just a simple outside pattern of behaviour which matters. No, it's what's in our hearts, what's deep down inside us. And again, the Sermon on the Mount takes us back to the question, what is the inner reality in our lives. Just prior to this, Jesus talks about prayer. He says, go into your room, hide yourself in the pantry, is the Greek word, the larder, and pray to your Heavenly Father who sees you as you are. It's what's in our hearts we pray. We pray secretly as well as, of course, publicly together in our meetings. But then also we're told our prayer should be very simple, not the long prayers that wear God down. No, we can simply speak to him in simple words and without pretense. We can be sincere. Well, let's leave that as the introduction. And I want to come on now to think about the surprising things in the Lord's Prayer. And I got five surprises for you this morning. Jesus says, this then is how you should pray. Surprise number one, God's concerns come first. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. So often our work life, society, our individual lives, even church life, can be full of self-indulgence. We're wrapped up in our own personal agenda. And the fact of praying doesn't identify if we're true disciples. J.C. Ryle, the old Bishop of Liverpool who died a long time ago now, put it like this: prayer is that point in religion at which you must most of all be on your guard. Here it is that true religion begins, here it flourishes, and here it decays. So often, our prayers are all about me, about my concerns, my worries. We're wrapped up in our own personal agenda. And the indicator is how we pray. There's that old prayer, God bless me and my wife, my son John and his wife, us four, no more, amen. Or John Betjeman, that great poet laureate. Lord, put beneath thy special care 189 Cadogan Square. And now, dear Lord, I cannot wait because I have a luncheon date. You see, so often our prayers are all about our concerns. And God doesn't really come into the picture at all. But we're given a new vision for the world as we pray. Our identity, we think about when before children went out, our identity, we're his children and subjects. And so his concerns come first. And there's nothing more desirable than that folks should acknowledge God as he is and live in the light of his rule. Your kingdom come, your will be done. He is the goal of history. History will end in him, in Jesus, as it began in him. Years before Jesus spoke, the prophet Daniel talked about what was happening across the centuries. Daniel 2, verse 44, in that time the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but will itself endure forever. First surprise, God's concerns come first because his kingdom is where ultimate reality is heading. Second surprise, the focus is not purely heavenly. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It reminds us where to look and pray. Do we look to see where in Wargrave, where in our country, where in the world, God's will is not being done? There are lots of places, aren't there? Do we think about people we know, our own lives, about where God's will is not being done there? We're to pray like this because God who answers prayer can work his will. We need to ensure that as we see the battle-scarred world and battle-scarred individuals, that actually we pray that God's will might be done on earth. I think about that old Good Friday hymn, and I often think about how Christ sees our messed up lives and world. Never was love, dear King, never was grief like thine. Do we have that grief in some small measure as we survey the world? Third surprise, prayer is request. Now, of course, there is time for quiet prayer and adoration. But actually, a striking thing here is in the Lord's Prayer, there's seven requests in total. Three requests to do with God's will, and four requests to do with ourselves. Yet too often, we're embarrassed about laying our requests before God. How many of you pray like this? Lord, help me this one time with this thing, and I won't trouble you again. He's not like that. He's not a reluctant God. We're beckoned to come before him in prayer. And James can say, you don't have because you don't ask. Fourth surprise, we must ask for our daily needs. Give us today our daily bread. It'd be so easy to forget that. We have, don't we, in Twyford, we have Tesco, we have Waitrose. And you can get those things delivered to your house by their home deliveries. But do we pray, ask for things that are needed, for food, for healing, for a roof over our head? Well, so often we don't do that. We don't even bother to pray about our civil society and government. But in prayer, human impotence is casting itself on God's omnipotence. He's a great God. And bread, friends, is our daily needs. And actually, it's not the things we want, the things we need. We were reading some months ago here, weren't we, studying the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 30, verses 8 and 9. Keep falsehood and lies from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Wonderfully, most of us here have been given far more than our daily needs, but do we come in dependence to him and ask those basic necessities of life we need? Fifth surprise, we're forgiven but constant debtors to God. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. We are forgiven sinners, but we need still to express our dependence on God for his mercy and grace. I wonder if there's a sort of cloud in our prayer life. Could it be verse 12b, that we haven't forgiven those who sinned against us? If we're to open our hearts to receive his gracious pardon, we cannot keep our fists firmly clenched against those who've wronged us. Sixth surprise, a final one, we're given a new vision of fearfulness. Verse 13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Do you fear temptation? Do you fear evil? Do you fear those wrong things which can so easily knock us off course? Here's a prayer which is fearfully, knowing our weakness, asks for protection. Don't allow us, Lord God, to be led our Heavenly Father, into temptation. And don't we all need to ask God to hold the reins of our life? How's your prayer life measuring up against the Lord's Prayer? Our prayer should be marked by these surprises. God's concerns come first. The focus is not purely heavenly. Prayer is request. We must ask for our daily needs. We are forgiven, but constant debtors to God. And then also, we need to be given a new vision of fearfulness, of how terrible sin is and evil when it pulls us away from the God who loved us and made us. Amen.